This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. I like that volume. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Indy and hear from your winner. Jason's a big fan. Bubba Wallace, MRN's Alex Hayden will join us in the third segment to discuss his experience at Indy in the cat perch, or whatever you want to call it. He was in turn one. It was kind of funny to see. Somebody took a picture of him. We'll talk about that. Head to Iowa this weekend. We'll get you ready. Cup standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings, and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand, and the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. He sits across the table.
And not hosting this week.
Yeah, I didn't even listen last week.
No, I appreciate it.
I was going to, you know, when you, like, this, by the way, that's Scott Webb. If you have, we went to three parks in 4 days, and I walked 46 miles is how much I walked. We did not go to Animal Kingdom. I tried to sway that way, and I was even looking for that T-shirt you were talking about at other Disney places.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
But
have you ever been to four in one day?
Negative. Okay. No,
that's real fun.
Yeah.
Riding that thing.
I don't think I'd do that thing. So
it's not the happiest place on earth.
No, somebody else said that.
Not at 11 o'clock when you're going to get out of there.
Holy crap. It's a lot. And I'm not like, I've gotten older, the whole roller coaster experience, and it makes me a little dizzy when it shakes you around.
Well, so. There's only one thing that gets me down there.
What's that?
Mad Tea Party.
Yeah, well.
Spinning teacups, man. I walk out of there, man. It looks like I drank about a 36-pack of beer. I'm serious. My daughter will get me on that, and I'll get all off there. I'm like, why?
I don't even know why you punish yourself. I got on Space Mountain, and I was a little frisky getting out. So, all right, some of the drivers had motor issues and maybe should have had pitted for tires. They did call Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires, making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off North Lee Highway. Give them a call, 423-479-3365. And get back on the road today on the heater dud meter. I've had to get some clarification before we started. I'm still, even though I don't think it was a great race, I think the intriguing end of the race with rain in turn three, some fuel stuff, that put me in the middle. So I'm going to go a 2.5.
All right, I'm gonna drop it down just a little bit. I'm gonna go with a 4, just because I think there were some interesting pit strategies throughout the race.
But you were gonna go with a 5, being horrible.
5 is the worst.
Yes,
and but I'm gonna say it's a 4. I thought it was pretty boring.
Yeah,
just be honest with you. I thought they went back to, you know, I was looking forward to them running the oval versus the road course, and to me, not a whole lot's changed from a few years back.
Yes, just too much single file racing.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it's great that the sport runs at the track, and I think it's an important. Obviously, it's an important track in the overall scheme of things, but the track itself just is just not conducive to these cars, and it just doesn't put on. We've had very good
mile and a half. So that's about
mile and a half. This car too flat, too much downforce on these cars. They're too aero dependent, and it just becomes single file, follow the leader racing. And if you're out front, I mean, we've seen guys that in that first stage, you know, you talk about Cindric and Logano, they took some pit strategy, got out front, and it looked like they were the best cars on the track there for a while, you know, until they had some tire issues late. So, you know, being out front just was the most important thing, and when air becomes that much of a factor in a race, it just always takes a hit.
But I will say this. Well, Yeah, I mean,
and I think it'd be great to get Alex's point on this right. too.
I think we still had, you know, Bubba and Larson there at the end. All right, would you think Larson was faster than Bubba, or you think Bubba had kind of had the dominant car? Because if I want to say that Larson couldn't pass him, but well, may have had the fastest
I wonder
car.
What would happen if they flipped where they restarted on that last restart. Yeah, and Bubba had to start from the
outside. Right?
No, and I get it. But that to me also indicates, hey, there's one way around this track.
Right.
And if you can't run, if you're not in that line, then I'm going to be faster than you. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a better driver or my car's working better. It just means this is the way around the track. And if you're not running it, you're going to be slower than me.
I've got the preferred line and you do not.
When I looked at the qualifying lineup before picking my
yeah, by the way, I changed a couple.
Yeah,
but it didn't help me any. Well, I still stunk.
But so. But the one thing I'll say is it was littered with Toyotas up front. Yeah. Toyota wins the race. I just, you know, it's one of those things where you don't see typically a manufacturer be so dominant, I guess, at a race. And you know, had Eric Jones not hit the wall, he would have probably been in the top 10. I think Nemechek got taken out or whatever. He was in the top 10 or one of those restarts. So
tell you how good they are. Hamlin started 39th after he crashed in qualifying.
And finished top 10.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, all right, Alex Bowman, speaking of Alex's, with another good run. We always talk about the streaks he goes on, Heater. It's he goes on a heater, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But Alex Bowman, about the time heating up in the summer, to where he takes off and gets going.
It's that time of year. You know, he's had his ups and downs, but it looks like he's kind of got some things dialed in at this point on that 48 team. So looking to see how this last four races before the playoff starts, you know, with 48. They needed a shot of arm of some good things to happen, and they've had it happen. And, you know, I think it's the sky's the limit for anybody at Hendrick right now.
You know, and if you think about that, with the 48, typically – now that I've said it, being his, you know, kind of his summer season or whatever when he takes off, it's these tracks now with the way the schedule has changed. He doesn't
more
make
shake,
me think
more
of,
shake up to the schedule today too. So.
Yeah, well, and I mean, he doesn't make me think of Watkins Glen. He's going to go dominate. He doesn't make me think at Iowa. He's going to dominate. It's almost like a old Kentucky where he used to run really well, you know, in a mile and a half or whatever, where he kind of gets on a heater. So. It's and I don't know, where is he in points here?
He's ninth.
He's ninth in points. He's
but no victories, and they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drivers below him that are in the win column.
Oh, so he's
hanging on the cusp.
So he really needs to get going and have a good run in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, this is what, how many seasons in a row have we seen this? There's always stretches in the season where we don't. We sit here around the table and say, I don't even know if this guy deserves to be in this organization. And then he has a 6-week stretch where they just start rattling off top fives and top tens. It's just the issue I have with Bowman is the inconsistency. It's we just don't see enough of it week in and week out. Where you look at somebody like Denny Hamlin or Kyle Larson, those guys – even when their car is not the best, they still figure out a way to make sure they're having good runs and good finishes.
They're top 10.
And they're top 10-ing it. Yeah. But Bowman doesn't have that. Now, when they get hot, they can win. I mean, they could win 4 or 5 because we know the equipment's good. And if they hit everything else and it's pointed in the right direction, there's no telling what they do. It's the inconsistency week to week, or we see big stretches throughout the season where they haven't And we've had a little bit of that with Byron, too. Now, it's not been as pronounced this year. He's been better kind of start to finish than he's been in the past. But Bowman still has a lot of ebbs and flows to their week-to-week routine. And that if they're going to be a serious contender, I think he's going to be in the playoffs. I firmly believe that he's got enough points. He's far enough ahead of a lot of people that he's going to be in the playoffs. But I just don't ever know if I can count him as a threat to win a championship or make a deep run, like into the second and third round, because they're just too inconsistent. That's the missing piece of the puzzle, and we'll see if they figured it out or if this is just a hot streak.
Two RFK cars finished in the top 10 with a 6 and the 60. Buescher run up front most of the race. Brad was there with him. You know, I guess it's one of those things where when it's a 4 to you and a 2.5 to me, you've got to pull things out of the air to talk about as far as who runs well and stuff like that. But it's the inconsistency, I guess, of RFK, which in my opinion, just to, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, could just be because of the schedule. If you ran straight mile and a halfs or mostly ovals, you know, in kind of the last six or seven races or whatever, maybe RFK has a better turnout. I don't know where they are in points. I think Buescher's up there.
Buescher's 10th. Price is
14th. 24th.
Yeah, Brad's got to win to get in, and that's unfortunate.
It's probably at that point.
It is one of those things, though, when you do have the 60 and the 17 running well, you hope to kind of build on that. I will say this, and y'all can talk away about RFK. I feel like that they would be prime candidate for Dodge if they come in.
I mean, we'll see. And then maybe we can pull some of that out of Alex and see what he's hearing. But I, you know, there's been a, you know, this Penske organization, not Penske, this Roush organization been with Fords forever.
Yeah. As far as I know.
Yeah. I can't remember a time
when Keselowski hasn't.
Yeah, he hasn't, but he's bounced around, but he's run a Ford pretty consistently for the most of the last, what, 10, 12, 15 years.
Right.
Until I start hearing some real buzz about them switching manufacturers, the issue they have has just been the inconsistency, especially of the six car. I think you're getting probably more than you thought you were going to get out of the 60. That car's been pretty racy for a lot of the season. The 17, we saw it a couple years ago. They can go out and win races.
Hit or miss with him.
Right. Yeah. It's been a little hit or miss, but it's been solid. I mean, he's sitting in the top 15 in points. It's Brad that's been the disappointment to me. And part of that was just the incredible bad luck they had to start the season, because he had a fast enough race car to win two or three of the first races. He was right there in the mix and just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But when you dig a hole that deep, it's hard to get out of it. And he's just not good enough anymore to be able to go out there and win anywhere. Now it's got to be specific. Is he going to be in my starting lineup and they go to Daytona in a couple weeks?
Yeah,
absolutely, because he can still run the super speedways. He can still be up front. But do I think he's going to be a factor this week at Iowa or definitely at a road course? I just don't see that anymore. And part of that could be age. This is not a young guy anymore. Part of it could be, is there with him being a part owner of the organization, is that taking away from the responsibilities, the owner responsibilities kind of taken away from some of what he can focus on as a driver? I can't answer all that. The organization as a whole looks to be pretty healthy. You just want to see more consistency, especially out of the six car.
You know, when you saw when he came in, where that team was at, I mean, we had talked about it for years.
Terrible spot.
So, I mean, it was like a complete overhaul they had to go through just to get some speed out of those cars, because they were, you know, running 25, 35 every single week. I mean, they weren't competitive whatsoever. And they got them competitive, but now Brad is just, you know, like you said, Scott, I mean, you know, if you throw a Daytona out there, you throw a Talladega, you throw a Michigan, you throw a Pocono, those are tracks where I could say, yeah, the six has a good shot at possibly – running well here. Yep. But any other track out on the circuit, I have zero confidence in the six car making any noise out there.
He's burned me more than once in fantasy. Yeah.
I was going to look and see what his best finishes are this year. But anyway,
not very good.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's not good at all.
When you're a regular driver and you've had – and you're sitting 24th in points.
You're 4 points above
your former
Stenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeesh. That's bad.
That's not great.
And 4 points above Zane Smith, too, by the way.
Yeah, I think he ran fifth in the Coca-Cola 600, was his best finish of the year, and I don't really see. So I guess anything after that would have been beyond fifth place. But, you know, you kind of look at that, and it's not so good. I think at some point, and go ahead, just hit the news, news in the world of NASCAR real quick, is that Denny Hamlin signed a 2-year extension. And from everything I heard listening to Denny's podcast was that he's done after 2 years, gives Joe Gibbs the opportunity, plenty of runway to be able to find somebody to replace him. So
is he done racing or is he done at Gibbs? I think those may be two different.
Could very well be. And either way, I think he wouldn't do full time at 2311. I think it would be a part-time thing maybe, but does that hold true probably for Brad, as in, has, you know, you've got a championship, you've got a Daytona 500 to win, you've got some big wins and stuff like that. Step away. Because imagine what he's already done with RFK being a full-time racer. If he goes at it full-time from an ownership standpoint, it could change things. You never know. All right, Scott, SVG, Shane Van Gensburg in 19th for those who are keeping score.
All right, better than 30.
Yeah, shock finisher of the week.
Shock finisher of the week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Caldwell Paving and Grading, locally owned for two generations. Jonathan Cantrell, he owns Caldwell Paving. Had a bad couple days about 2 months ago, a month ago. Tore out both patella tendons in his knee. When you're 6'8 and however much he weighs, that's not a good thing. So now more than ever, give them a call for your paving needs, for your driveways, roads, or they can even pave interstates with their own asphalt plant. So give them a call, 423-336-3841. I'm going with the 23. Of Bubba Wallace. I'm sure Jason will have the same pick for his shot.
Yeah, it's 23. Just because he's burned me every time I pick him. And then he goes out there and does well. Hadn't really qualified well. I mean, he did a lot of the right things. I mean, he ran up front, and that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. Stick around and then keep
good
working on the
may
car.
Happen.
And good things may happen. They did on Sunday. I'm going to take the 22 and the 2. I thought both of those cars were really racy, and then to have, I think, what, right rears go down early in runs. I was hoping that was going to be a tire issue. Well, I didn't know if it was a tire issue or if it was, you know, they and Junior talked a little bit about it on the broadcast. Maybe they're running such low pressure that ultimately they just popped a tire. But those two cars were really fast, especially once they cycled toward the front. So they'll be my shock finisher of this week.
I'll tell you who had the worst week of anybody. And that's the one car. That dude's sitting right now in 13th with all those people below him that's got wins, and he comes out of that track with nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Dead last.
Well, and it's, you know, Suarez is gone. Do you have a – I don't know. That, I think Ross is a little better than Suarez. Anyway, all right, let's talk about Bubba Wallace real quick. I think one of you guys just said this, probably the most complete race I've ever seen, mm-hmm. or complete weekend I've ever seen Bubba Wallace have. There seemed to be in situations that he was put in, especially in the restarts at the end, that's times when he would have went backwards or he would have had some sort of issue or pressed too hard. He seemed like he's matured a little as a racer, and it very well could be that somebody's finally given him a car and a crew chief that was able to do it. I always looked at Jason as Booty Barker, who was his crew chief for a long time, mm-hmm. as one of those low tiered car crew chiefs or whatever that people would get. And this guy that they've got seems to be making a difference in a short amount of time.
Well, he's sitting 11th in points, and he's been pretty solid. He's been in the top 16 pretty much all year. You know, he just got that elusive victory. What, I mean, he hadn't won in 100 races.
100 races, yeah.
And, you know, congrats to Bubba, you know, for going out there and running a solid race and just having a good weekend.
Especially with all the stuff, Scott, surrounding them with the lawsuits Ooh. And their open drivers and stuff like that. It's really important that he got the win.
Yeah, I mean, it's big for the organization. You know, they need – I was just trying to think through. I don't think Reddick's won yet this
year.
No,
he hasn't.
He's not. So that organization, you know, they've been on a little bit of a losing streak is, I mean, most people in this
Legally
board.
And on track.
Yeah, so – but it's all – you know, it's important for that organization to continue to grow and keep winning. And they went out there, and this was an important week for him. They needed to start showing. I mean, Reddick is usually in the mix. Usually when something happens with Reddick, it's something usually, or he's just caught up in some junk. That car's been pretty racy all year. Bubba's been more consistent than he's been in the past, but they needed to go out there and show, hey, man, we're not only are we capable of running in the top 10, but we are capable of winning a race. And it doesn't just have to be in a perfect storm. You know, they had some competition. They got a late caution that they probably didn't. I know they didn't want to see, but they were able to go out there and make some things happen and win a race.
You bring up Reddick, and this was another point I was thinking about when I was looking at the standings earlier this week. He's sitting sixth in points. Well, guess what? There's eight drivers behind him scattered through there that have wins on the season, and he's sitting sixth. So that could spell a little bit of trouble for that 45 team.
You start banking those playoff points. If you don't have them, you got to be perfect. You can't have any any mess ups in one of these first couple stages of the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's got one playoff point.
Yep.
So yeah, so if it stands and he makes it in the 16th, he is 16th.
Well, see, they've got four races to go, and he's got to make it there.
Yeah, he's got to make it. If
two other drivers below win,
especially at a crapshoot like Daytona.
Daytona, I mean, you got some good drivers below him that do not have wins on the year.
Yeah, that's going to be that's definitely going to be something to look at there. All right, this Victory Lane interview brought to you by Quick Check. It's convenient Mark. It's my neighborhood gas station. Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car, and they have 100% gasoline for Jason's lawnmower. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road, stop by and fill up today.
This one's really cool. I am more slap out, if you couldn't tell. I'm just proud of the team, proud of the effort put in each and every week, people pushing me to be better. The biggest thing that gets lost is believing in self. And I'll say those last 20 laps, there was ups and downs of telling myself, you're not going to be able to do it. And I hate that I'm that way, but I pushed myself to be the absolute best. And when the caution came out, my spotter, love him to death. He said the 12 got clear of the pack, keep making pace. I was like, okay, so it's going to be me and Blaney here. Caution comes out, Blaney's nowhere to be found, and it's the 5. So I was like, what the hell was he talking about? So once I seen that it was Larson, I knew I'd have to roll the sleeves up. He won here last year, and he's arguably the best in the field. I have no problem saying that. I respect the hell out of what he does, how he drives. He pushes us all to be that good. So to beat the best, we had to be the best today, and we were able to come out on top.
All right, anything you see on Facebook or Twitter that looks halfway decent and somewhat professional, even our Throwback Thursday stuff is done by WebOb Digital Marketing. And if you want your business to look professional on social media, go to webive.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We got a bunch of it right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Won't be long before we'll say heated by Dale's Heating and Air.
Give Dale a call here in Cleveland. It doesn't feel like that at all.
I know, 423-509-8787, or just call dales.com. Yeah, we were down in Florida last week at Disney, but the weekend we were in Jupiter, Florida, playing baseball, and it's like 107 degrees down there. The sand, hottest I've ever felt sand on my feet. It was... It's like a little wuss running around there, tiptoeing all the way through.
Sound like
it. Yeah. All right. News in the world of NASCAR is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is my pharmacy and has been for years. Is your insurance denying your weight loss drugs? Well, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for and are as low as $154. To find out more information, go see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road or give them a call, 790-0443. All right. Real quick, just on the Xfinity side, Austin Dillon is suspended for right hooking Eric Almirola. If you saw, my point to this thing is, if you're Austin Hill, don't wear white gloves if you're going to do white crimes. What is a white crime? Is that right? Does that fit?
No, I mean, I get what you're trying to say.
Yeah,
it's a question I want to ask Alan. I want to make sure he agrees with the punishment.
Richard Childress doesn't, because
if it was your driver, would you complain? I mean, you wouldn't complain either. But
no.
is the intent of the rule? I just want to get his thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think, at a short track, but and when you're going pretty good speeds or whatever, I don't know that you could do that.
Yeah, I don't. We can't have rules based upon where we're racing, can we?
Why not? Is there rules? Are they just enforced when they need to be? Josh Williams out at College Racing in the Xfinity Series. Carson Hocevar will jump in there and drive. This week, Austin Dillon will jump in and drive for Austin Hill. Somebody made a comment, I think it was Pockers or whatever, saying how they're going to have to adjust the seats for both of those cars a lot because Austin Hill's a big old dude. Austin Dillon, not so much. Josh Williams, a smaller guy. Josevar, 6 foot something. So, all right, let's get to schedules or schedule talk. Scott, I'm going to tee it up, and you and Jason take it because I don't know much about it. But Jordan Bianchi, news in the world, or news according to, I'm sorry, Jordan Bianchi with The Athletic. NASCAR won't return to Mexico City next year, with Chicagoland Speedway expected to take its spot in the 2026 schedule. Sources tell The Athletic. We do know that they're going to the San Diego military base to race next year. So my thought would be
they're swapping out the Chicago road course for San Diego and the road course in Mexico City for Chicagoland, so that the Chicago metropolitan area still gets a race next year. It's just going to be at
why is that so important? Maybe I'm a Chicago hater. I don't know, but I just don't. Maybe
I don't know with this car. Wouldn't you rather see them going around that mile and a half than?
I didn't even know it still existed.
It still exists. I mean, they just got to bring it back from the dead. That's all they got to do.
Yeah. I'm still in the schedule thing. It'll never happen. But anyway, go back and kind of hit some of these short tracks that we used to run back in the day. Even if it's smaller ones, make it to where it's difficult to get a ticket. I don't know. Anyway, anybody got anything
to
add on
that? No, that's fine.
I mean, it's one of those things that they just keep tinkering with schedules year after year. You kind of just never know what's going to come out, what they're going to run next.
Yeah.
We can't talk out on both sides of our mouth
because we've been doing this
show for a decade.
And we've been talking out of both sides of our mouth for a decade.
I was about to say, you know, it was real nice back in the late 80s and, you know, early 80s and 90s when you knew that, guess what, these tracks are on the circuit.
You could say it's July and you knew exactly where we were going to be.
You knew where they were going
to
be.
But I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth.
They're going to go to Michigan twice. Nobody wants to see any of that.
I don't want
to
talk out both sides of my mouth because I've yelled about it for years that they need to get a little bit of diversity in their tracks.
Yeah. Right. The only thing I want to see is I just want to see them continue to work on getting the car more racy. I think some of these tracks, like, for example, Indianapolis, I think they could probably do some things in it. And, again, I want to ask Alex about this too. Could they do some things to the car to make the racing more enjoyable, entertaining?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I still think that's part of the biggest issue right now is just this car can only do so much, and it just keeps them all bunched together, but you can't separate yourself. There's just everybody seems like it almost feels like sometimes you're watching a race like I – watching this race this past week, it almost like felt like watching an IROC race.
Both
like
sides all the of cars, our mouth, though.
Like all the cars are set up the exact same way. And then, so they just go out there and run in circles. And it just doesn't have, it just, there wasn't enough variables. So, I ask for on this show all the time. I just want more variables, whether it's tire or track or lanes.
Were you a fan of the 80s and 90s?
I'm older than both of you. I've been watching.
Okay, so most of the time when somebody won in the 80s and 90s or early 90s, the person they were ahead of second place by two laps.
Okay, but I wasn't commentating on those races.
I'm saying
they needed to work on that too.
Yeah,
I mean back then,
we would have been saying the exact same thing back then.
Oh my gosh, that would have been so funny.
You know, dude coming from nine laps down and winning. I mean, you know,
six laps. What was it? Six at Talladega.
I don't know.
You imagine if we've been down to Talladega and Bill Elliott fly around that track to make.
Man, that thing sounds like it's got rocket fuel.
And it does.
Probably did.
and then just blow the engine.
Yeah, just blow it up.
Blow it up, Bill. Blow it up.
That's wild. All right, it's time for your NASCAR Cup Point Standings. This is brought to you by Bree Maia with Krylock Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is a realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings. After the running of the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Chase Elliott, still your overall point leader, has a four-point lead over William Byron. Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, and Christopher Bell are your top five. Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, Alex Bowman, and Chris Buescher, your top 10. Bubba Wallace, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Ryan Preece, Kyle Busch, and million-dollar winner, which we didn't even mention, Ty Gibbs. It's your top 16, and that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
With some person in the federal or Fed not lowering rates, it's challenging still to get your home purchased or sold. And Bree can take care of that for you. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you what, let's do this because we got like 3 minutes and then we'll have Alex on. Jason, we'll go ahead and go over the schedule for Iowa because typically when we get in a conversation with Alex, it goes a while, and yeah, we don't have time to do that.
Yeah, on Friday, 7 o'clock on FS1, the ARCA Race 150. Saturday at 4:30 on the CW, Xfinity Race. And then Sunday on USA at 3:30.
Oh, here we go.
The Cup Race.
Yeah, well,
3:30. Yeah, whatever.
It'll be over with by
70s up there, 10% rain. I wonder if they're feeling that corn sweat we've all been hearing about.
I need you to describe corn
sweat. I want to hear what, you know, corn sweat's where this it releases kind of like this humidity in the air. I'm sitting here thinking, y'all ain't got a clue.
No.
Just come down here for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Go down to Florida.
I'll show you some sweat.
Yeah, you got nothing. Come out here and mow my grass like I got to do tonight.
The schedule is always brought to you by Clarity Property Management. Give them a call, 423-458-2600 for all your property management needs. All right, when we come back, it will be the Alex Hayden with MRN Radio right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
The green flag is out.
Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's always fun to have MRN's Alex Hayden join us, fresh off of his turn one call from Indianapolis Speedway, Indiana. First of all, Alex, I got to get your opinion as we're all around the same age in here and losing Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan and Ryan Sandberg all in the same week is a little much for me.
Chuck Mangione, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck Mangione, Connie Francis we lost. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot going on. And, you know, people always talk about things happen in threes, which I get the stereotype. There's only, the matter is people die every day. And it's some of our favorites are going to be passing along. So that's just, I guess, part of getting older, I guess.
It is, absolutely. So I know, Alex, that that one of your dreams in life, is, in having grown up in that area, was to broadcast a race up in Indianapolis. Was it all that you thought it would be?
Yeah, it really was. It was pretty spectacular. You know, I'd done two MRN broadcasts from Indianapolis Motor Speedway years ago for Grand Am Sports Car Racing, which is now IMSA Sports Car Racing, but which was great. But that's a road course, they're going the wrong way, it's not on the oval, so it still, there was something missing, and to be able to go up and broadcast on the oval, the Brickyard 400, you know, I went to the original test in 1992 in person to go watch stock cars for the first time go around that racetrack, and I thought, okay, well, this is kind of cool, but on the same token, hey, we're 8,500 people. These stock cars don't belong here. I was one of them. But, you know, over the years, and obviously after the first Brickyard 494, you warm up to it fairly quickly. And we had a lot going on in this past Sunday's race.
Definitely did. It was a really good race. Let's talk about Bubba Wallace. Gets the win. I said on the show earlier, probably the most complete weekend I've ever seen the 23 car have. And at a time really when that organization really needs a complete weekend, you know, new crew chief, I don't know what it was. I want to equate it to a new crew chief, you know, kind of making that car better, but your thoughts on the 23 and having a complete weekend.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. They did. They had a great car practice. Obviously, in qualifying, they just missed out on pole position. And during the race, it was rock solid. They didn't dial themselves out in the race like they have done in the past, where they started off well. And you always make changes to your cars because if you're good early, everybody else is going to make changes. They're going to get better than you. So you got to continue to try to find speed. And this time, they didn't. They they made the right changes. They continued to have pace, and they didn't have fall off and made the right calls. Now, look, they had Lady Luck on their side because that last round of pit stops, Joey Logano had the best call, and he and Paul Wolf got out in front of everybody, and it was going to cycle back around to Logano being up front until he cut down a tire. You know, I talked to Joey yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he said that was 100% on them as a team. They got aggressive with their air fresheners, and it jumped up and bit them, just like it did their teammate, Austin Cindric, who, by the way, he probably had the best car out of everybody in the 400 was Austin Cindric. But they got aggressive on the air pressures as well, lowered them a little bit too much, and cut down a tire as well. So perfect weekend for Bubba Wallace. He's got one of the crown jewel racers now.
Alex, we had a little bit of debate earlier on the show about the and I'm talking just about the racing at Indy. Is there something they could do that maybe improve the race? And I'm not saying that this was a bad race. We've already had that debate. But is there some things maybe with the car setup, that could maybe make it a little more? Like, I absolutely love watching the Indy cars run there, but we just don't get the same kind of show. And I know it's a different car. But is there something they could do to maybe make the racing a little better there?
Well, if you go all the way back to the first Brickyard 400 30-some-odd years ago, 1994, I can't do math very well. But in 1994, the racing has essentially been the same. There really hasn't been side-by-side racing lap after lap. And it is a very narrow racetrack. Now, the Indy cars, yes, different car, they have super high downforce. So they can go too wide, and they can go through the corners at 225 miles an hour. These Cup cars, they'll hit 200 easy down the straightaways, but they got to roll out of it. And they're probably running 165, 170 through the corners just because they have a higher center gravity. They don't have near the amount of downforce. The track is just not conducive to big old heavy center of gravity stock cars. So I don't know. I don't think you can. I don't think big, high, tall cars that are really heavy can really race well at Indianapolis as far as side-by-side all the way around, because we haven't seen it since 94. So I think that's why so much happens with different strategies. These teams know in order to leapfrog and realistically pass people, you got to do it on pit road.
Let me ask this question then. Should this series be racing there?
Yes. Yeah. And the reason I say yes is for two very important reasons. Number one, the manufacturers, what we call the OEMs, original equipment manufacturer. You hear that term a lot, right? The OEM. They want to be at Indianapolis. Indy is the greatest race course on the planet. And they want to be there. Ford, Chevrolet, Toyota, they want to be there. Heck, everybody wants to be there. Honda runs IndyCar there. Honda may run NASCAR there someday. Nissan. I mean, IMSA runs there. And all the manufacturers, they have some of the most entries at any sports car race and when we race at Indianapolis. So the fact of the matter is racing at Indy is that important. So that is the first step. The other part of it is people want to see it. And yes, it looked like there's a lot of empty seats, but
no. All right, we lost
Alex.
Yeah,
there.
We're gonna try to get him back here. That was he was in it.
He was definitely. It was one of those things where, and I expect him to say Indianapolis is going to be the best because that is his one of his favorite racetracks. So
it wasn't the best.
New Year on there. You're back.
No, it's not the best. It really isn't. But it's Indianapolis.
Right.
There's a stigma that comes along with racing at Indy that everybody wants to be there. The TV networks want to be there. They want to broadcast from there. They're the ones paying the most money. The manufacturers want to be there. They are providing race cars. So as long as those two entities want to be at Indy, NASCAR is going to be at Indy.
And you also have a longtime NASCAR owner that owns the track now. So one of those things that kind of helps
out. I just wanted to ask the question. I knew what the answer was going to be, but I wanted to ask the question.
All right, so, hey, Denny Hamlin just signed a two-year extension. In essence, what I gathered listening to some of his podcast while I was trying to breathe and run at the same time, this is almost kind of a runway for Gibbs to find somebody to replace him. Two-part question here. One, is 2 years the end of his driving career, or does he go full-time with 2311 for a couple years? Two, does Brad Keselowski follow that? The reason I ask is because Brad Keselowski, I think, has made a difference at Roush Fenway, being kind of a part-time owner, full-time driver. If he could go full-time owner, I think that place gets better in a hurry.
For Brad, I think he's going to keep driving. I do. I think Brad will go 5 or 6 more years easy. He just has that fire in him, and he wants to be a part of the success of the team that his name is on the front door. So I see Brad doing this a little longer. Now, on the Denny Hamlin front, this one was interesting because the word in the garage was Denny was excited about driving his own car like Brad does. So a lot of people were expecting Denny to run his own car. However, when he decided to go ahead and sign a multi-year extension to stay at Joe Gibbs Racing, it raised some eyebrows. And some of the talk in the garage circles around the fact that they think 2311 is losing this lawsuit in a big way. And if they do, they lose their charters, they lose a ton of stuff, they may lose 2311 Racing as a whole. So Denny could have been out, totally out. So selfishly, he needed to make sure he had a car to drive as a race car driver. And if Joe Gibbs wanted him back and sponsorship was there for a couple of more years, by all means, sign it. Do it. I think the lawsuit has a lot to do with him signing an extension to stay at Joe Gibbs Racing.
All right, real quick. Jordan Bianchi with The Athletic tweeted a tweet today, if you still call it that, and about basically the Chicago road course being replaced. We know we're going to San Diego to a military base. Go ahead.
Tip of the hat to NASCAR. That was a very funny video that they put out.
Yeah,
very good video.
So we know they're going to San Diego. The talk there, what he reported was there's thought that they're going back to Chicagoland Speedway to kind of still stay in the Chicago market. True or false?
I'm not convinced we're going to Chicagoland Speedway. Now we've been hearing that we were going to do this for we've been hearing this since last year, quite honestly, but here's why I'm not convinced. From what we understand, it's going to cost $15 million minimum for us to go back to Chicago next year. Because all of the HVAC systems, air conditioning, heating, all the ventilation systems are all out of order. They're shot. They don't work. They all have to be replaced at the Speedway, everything there. Also, the huge tower with all the suites and race control and broadcast booths and all that good stuff, hospitality areas that sit high above the grandstands, most of the glass is either out, has fallen out, or needs to be replaced. Yes, and that is a huge ask. That is a huge, huge deal. Plus, the racing surface itself has a lot of weeds and stuff growing up through the cracks, like a lot what we saw at North Wilkesboro Speedway a couple of years back. So I'm hearing $15 million minimum just to get the racetrack back in order. Now, NASCAR owns it. They can do that. They can fork out the money and get the job done should they choose to do so. But if they're going to do that, then you better count on Chicagoland Speedway being on the calendar for a decade. Because if you're going to make that kind of investment, you're going to race there. You're not going to just do that just to go there one time as a placeholder. So I got to tell you, honestly, I'm not sure we're going back to Chicagoland next year because of that information that I have been told from high up NASCAR officials. Look, when we were racing at Chicago Street Course a few weeks ago, there were quite a few people in the sport that went to Chicagoland Speedway down in Joliet just to look at it. And everybody I talked to that went came back with their eyebrows in the air thinking, you know, I'm not so sure about this. So we'll see. There's other rumors out there for different things. And obviously, Rockingham Speedway is up for sale. We were told by the 1st of July we would know who the new owner was. Well, nobody knows. So that one's still kind of bouncing around there. I think you need to pay really close attention to what happens with Speedway Motorsports and Dover Motor Speedway and North Wilkesboro Speedway. I think we need to pay really close attention to that here in the next few weeks.
These Alex Hayden teasers.
No, I love them. I absolutely love
them.
Now
we got track silly season going on, so that's crazy. All right, anything you expect out of the ordinary at Iowa?
By the way, Alex, you guys are on the call this week, right, out at Iowa?
Yes, I fly out early in the morning.
Well, I'd just be warning, there's tornadoes out there. As they almost got hit when the Indy cars were there. That was a pretty scary scene.
Pretty wild. Hey, look, you know, the professional weather guessers, the forecast shows that the high is going to be like 76 degrees all weekend, the low in the low 50.
With rain?
No humidity and like a 5% chance of rain. So it should be spectacular. I think the thing we need to pay attention to with Iowa is they did a bit of a repave with this track, but it was wonky at best. And what I mean by that is they only paved the bottom lane and a half in the corners. They left all the old beat up asphalt from the second lane up, which is kind of a bit of a head scratcher. So I think that's going to be it. There's going to be some pretty good grip down at the bottom of the racetrack. I think everybody's going to fight to get to the bottom. And if you get rooted up or your car pushes up the track and you get in that old stuff, you better hang on. And so we may be in for something kind of fun this weekend.
I'm waiting on something kind of fun. If we can just get it moved to either 1 o'clock or 5 o'clock instead of the 3:30 jazz.
Grandpa Jones here needs.
I'd be really happy.
He's got to have it right at the right time.
3:30.
Selfishly, I'm with you. Let's drop the green flag at 1 p.m. Eastern every week. I mean, I'm all for that.
Hey, Alex, I just want to know, get your opinion. One thing's been on my mind since I saw it come out. Who won the Minka Ramsey trade?
Who did what?
Who won the Minka Fitzpatrick Jalen Ramsey trade?
That's a great question. Jalen Ramsey has talent.
Yep.
But he's not somebody I want in my locker room.
Enough said.
Is this Miami Dolphin talk? Yes, is this where we're Miami going?
Yes. It is Dolphin talk.
Wow.
I'll leave it at that.
I love Minka Fitzpatrick.
I would want in my locker room.
I love Minka Fitzpatrick.
I do too. I do too. But the Dolphins, look, Dolphins are going to be the Miami Dolphins. And until they get serious about their talent and, quite honestly, the coaching staff, I mean, come on. We got a coach that walks around that looks like he just rolled out of bed. It's hard to take them serious.
You should start cheering for them to lose so that you can join the undefeated Miami Dolphins team in a toast every year when you realize they're not going undefeated.
Well, look, they opened training camp this week, and I've already realized they're not going undefeated again this year.
They've already got a starting corner out for the year.
Yeah. Well, not only that, we're already out of the playoffs. We know that. So, I mean, it's awful.
That's awesome.
But, you know, that's just part of it.
Well, it'll help you have fun in Iowa. Jealous of the 76 degrees. Go get you 18 holes so you don't have to sweat out there. And have a great call.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, see you,
thanks,
Alex.
It's Alex Hayden in radio. We always appreciate Alex coming on. Great wealth of knowledge. Love the teases as he throws them out, and most of the time those come true. All right. I don't think we have any time left. So we need to maybe jump into the fantasy.
Maybe need to get some reads in, and then we'll.
Well, let me do all that here at the same time. So the third segment, and Alex, is always brought to you by Balance Moving and Storage. The name speaks for themselves. They do a great job in moving, and they can also store your stuff. Give them a call, 1-423-763-1000. And always, Rick Karp Fantasy Standings. They're brought to you by Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Great swim program here in Cleveland, Tennessee. If you're interested in swimming, racing, whether you're an adult, we have an adult league now, or a kid that wants to learn how to swim, check out cat.swimtopia.com. All right, I'm going for Iowa this week with Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Josh Berry, Brad Keselowski, and William Byron in my garage. I've got Wallace over Chastain, Elliott over Bell, Berry over Stenhouse Jr., and Byron over Blaney. hot picks are Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch. You need to avoid Chris Buescher. You need to avoid the sleeper Ross Chastain. If you got a gambling problem, stop. Peter, who you got?
I'm going with some duds this week. I'm going with Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, William Byron, Alex Bowman. In my garage, I got Denny Hamlin. I'm going, of course, Chastain over Wallace, Bell over Elliott, Barry over Stenhouse, Blaney over Byron.
I got Josevar, Blaney, Gibbs, Briscoe, and Joey Logano, Chase Elliott in my garage, Chastain over Wallace, Elliott over Bell, Barry over Stenhouse, and Blaney over Byron.
All right, make sure you tune in next Wednesday as we'll break down Iowa for you, get you ready for the next race. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.